a little jumping. He left a whole lot of slide, in case y'all didn't know. A whole lot of slide. So look, to go 300 plus slides, it took a little time, look, for me to go through them and to check everything. Not because I don't believe what he's got up there, I don't believe what's written or what's posted, but I go back and I check. So it takes time to go through every slide, every detail, every Hebrew word, every Hebrew meaning. You know, you can easily just breeze right through it. You really can. And you can be just satisfied just for that moment. But we're going to get into the spot. We're going to talk about the bread, how we need the bread of life. And we know who that bread is. Yeshua is that bread. So let me get started. Bereshit 44 verse 1. Genesis 44 1. And he commanded the one over his house, saying, fill the men's sack with food as they are able to bear, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Now, he says, and he commanded. Now, this is the problem that we suffer from a little bit, I believe, here. In our past few days, since I was listening to the messages, and past couple of days trying to go and trying to find some quiet time, today I'm sitting in the hole of the boat. And I could have been doing a bunch of things else. So while I'm playing around, messing with mechanic stuff, that's I can't get it figured, because I'm trying to concentrate on what Yah wants for tonight to tell us. They couldn't break their command. What Yosef said, they had to do. And he commanded the man, the one that was over his house. Yah has placed someone here over his house. And we should pay high respect to the one he sets here. We should at least want to come out when he calls for time like this. Not just, and Wednesday. We're going to say this. At least I will. I'm going to say how important it is for us to be here. Not just tonight. That's Friday night coming. Because it's commanded. Amen. He's commanded. And what he does? He shepherds us to where we're commanded. Now, this man here, the one that was taking care of Yosef's house, he could have fed back there. Do what? I don't see where he questioned Yosef. So when we're being led by our shepherd, I don't think we should be so much in question about if he calls for service, because we shouldn't neglect ourselves to be here tonight. We can be at it. We have a lot of things to do on our plate. But somehow when it comes to him, we get a little skittish. Or we find excuses. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the mouth of the sack of the youngest, and the silver for his grain. And he did according to the word of Yosef, which he spoke. How do you know Yosef was empowered? He was empowered by Pharaoh, but he was empowered by Yehovah. Because the scripture says Yehovah was with him. And Yosef knew that Yah was with him. Yah showed him. Because he's seen in a dream. He knows later on when his brothers come, what they're doing, he remembered the dream, the scripture says. I thought that was so awesome. We see how this man was obedient. And as soon as morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. And when they had gone out of the city, not having gone far off, Yosef said to the one over his house, I want to tell you, Yah said to the one over our house, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to present to the sheep. Because we're going to need this in times to come. We think it's cold outside. This world is cold. Rise up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? Is this not the one from which my master drinks, and which he indeed divines? You have done evil in what you have done. So you think that man is going to go and repeat the word Yosef said? You better believe it. And shouldn't we, as a head, we know who's our head. When he speaks to us, should we not repeat what he says? That's what we've been doing. We've been liking what he likes. We've been hating what he hates. We've been saying what he's saying. To say something different, that you would be going contrary to what he says. So we have to make sure for ourselves to say what he says. And being in under submission to the one that's in leadership. To the one that Yah has placed here for us. And we're going to get to that because I'm going to make my point here in a minute. Because if we don't think that he's under the gun, we're going to read about it. And they said to him, so he overtook them and spoke these words to them. What word? The words what Joseph said. And they said to him, why does my master say these words? Far be it from us that your servant should do according to this word. So we brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver which we found in the mouth of our sacks. How then should we steal silver or gold from your master's house? They were afraid, because I heard the message. You know they were afraid, because they thinking when they saw the money in their sack, we are in trouble. They went back home. Their daddy seen it. They all nervous. And I can see why. Because you the one that got a lack of food, and you got to go to Egypt and Mishraim, where it's at. But there's a man there that they're afraid of, that they spoke harshly to him. The only one that feel like the word is harshly to him is the one that's not obeying. Maybe that's why the word is a little harsh. Or maybe I'm just talking to myself tonight. I'm going to preach to me. Y'all can listen. And sometimes we need a little patting. We get a little loose at times. And it don't feel good when you're in the hall, and when the dominant one is kind of pulling on you a little bit to come this way. With whoever of your servant it is found, he shall die, and he shall become my master's slave at will. That's what his brother was saying. And he said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found becomes my slave, and you are innocent. And they hurried, each man let down his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. And he searched with the eldest first and with the youngest last, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Now, Joseph back then in Egypt, he got this plot. Hello, he's having a little fun with his brother. You know, but it's not to be a dictator over them, but it's just he's toying with them. We know that we have our little kicks and giggles around here at times when we just toy with people. But Yo is teaching them a lesson. He's testing their character to see how they really react. And y'all want to test our character at times to see how we stand. If we, because look, 13 years, Joseph was in turmoil. If you just stop at there and return, and you go back to the story, you look like he loses, but he wins. So y'all would say, look, y'all going to test you to see where you're at, to see if you love him. You're going to stay faithful to him. When you're really going to need him, or you just going to need him when you're just in a bind. He wants us daily. He just don't want you on Shabbat at the end of the week. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? These midweeks. And they tore their garments. And each man loaded his donkey and went back into the city. I can see that scene playing right now. They dropped because they are so much in fear. Because not only they got to go back to... Hey, they got to go back and tell their daddy. Because Yehuda stood up. Yehuda said, look, send him with me. I'm going to guarantee the boy. If not, I'm going to bear that burden. For Simeon. Simeon said, look, you can kill my two kids. Really? I ain't going to send him with you. There's no way. But Yehuda stood up. You can see that character. And Yehuda's seen that in him. But Yehuda's still testing them. It's going to push. Y'all sometimes going to push it to the extreme. Because he wants you to remain. When you haven't done all that you can stand, you stand. That's where the place he wants to get us to. I believe. And Yehuda said to them, and Yehuda, verse 14, my bad. And Yehuda and his brother came to Yehuda's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Yehuda said to them, What deed is this you have done? Do you not know that a man like me indeed divine? So he's just kind of messing with him right there. But boy, he's just having a little fun with his brothers. Because we know the next door portion, he's going to reveal himself. And they're going to be so much at ease. It's kind of like when we stand here, I was doing Brother Chad, we're going to flip a coin tonight. You or me? He says, you guys, it's your turn. So yeah, you feel that pressure right there. And then when it's all out, you get relieved. I tell you, I'm so relieved after a night like this, I feel so much better. So but this is nothing to be compared to what happened right here with his brother. They were serious. They know, he said, by the life of Pharaoh, what? You're spies. And that's what they knew. That's what they told their father back home. Because they knew. Once they tell you, come over without Benjamin, their father's dead. He's gonna grieve himself to death. So we know that this was serious times for them. And Yehuda said, what do we say to my master? What do we speak? Or how do we cure ourselves? And I thought that was three important questions. When we stand before the master, and if we haven't been found faithful before him, are we going to ask these questions? Is it going to be too late then? Is he going to show enough mercy to us? Or to those that come before him? Because the scripture said we're all going to come before him. What are we going to say to the master? Or what are you going to speak? Think about these questions. How are you going to clear yourself when you stand before the judge of all judge? You definitely going to need a good attorney. Elohim has found out the crookedness of your servant. We won't be able to hide anything from him. See, we are our master's slaves, both we and he with whom the cup was found. But he said, far be it from me to do this. The man whose hand the cup was found, he becomes my slave, and you go up to your father in peace. And this is where the Torah portion ends right here. They know that's no peace to go back home to their father. They in turmoil right here. And this is where it's going to get more gooder next week. All right. Like I said, we had a lot of slides to choose from. So we're going to start down here at 240. I'm trying to catch up to the story a little bit. I think it's 246. We're going to have a little extra. We might as well start 244. And slide 244. Genesis 41:54. And the 7 years of scarcity of food began to come, as Joseph has said. And the scarcity of food was in all the lands, but in all the land of Mishraim there was bread. Amen. And when all the land of Mishraim hungered, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Mishraites, go to Joseph, do whatever he says to you. And the scarcity of food was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Mishraites. And the scarcity of food was severe in the land of Mishraim. And all the earth came to Joseph in Mishraim to buy grain because the scarcity of food was severe in all the land. Can you imagine that? The whole face of the earth at that time, only one place has food. You talk about turmoil. You talk about probably some fighting. I know we don't. Not everything's recorded, but that's probably where some pushing and shoving going on in these lines. Because these people, they in for their lives. When it comes to survival, and you see movies and people, you hear people talk about survival stories. Look, they'll do almost whatever to survive when it comes to survival. And this is what was going on. But look, what did they do? They listened. They listened to the man that was in charge. And said, this is what you do. Pay y'all 20% that you pay, and we're going to store it up. That way we're not going to perish. We're going to live. And this is what he says now. Eat this bread. Come here on Wednesday. Come here on Friday. Come here on Saturday. Stay for Midrash sometime. Look. And eat the bread. Because we're going to need it. Because why? Let's look at Amos. I know this is in a slide, but we're going to look at Amos right quick. Why are we saying that? Let me read it, because I don't want to read my words. I want to see what the scripture says. In Amos chapter 8, let's look at verse 9. And in that day, and it shall be in that day, declared the Master Jehovah, and I shall cause the sun to go down at noon, and shall darken the earth on a day of brightness. Can you imagine? And shall turn your festivals into mournings. You know what's festival going on right now? And your song into lamentation. And bring sackcloth on all loins and baldness on every head. And shall make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like the day, a day of bitterness. You know, there's a day coming. Amos chapter 8. Verse 9, starting at verse 9. I just read 9 and 10. There's a day coming. The scripture tells us a day coming. But if we don't prepare for it, if we don't store up the grain, the bread, if we don't eat his flesh and drink his food, I can't wait to get to that. And that's so important. The words of Yeshua. Well, how much we need it. Because why? See, the days are coming, the Master, yes. Declares the Master Jehovah. It don't say nothing about Scott there. It don't say nothing about Pastor there. Declares the Master Jehovah. See, the days are coming. And I shall send a hunger in the land, not a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for the hearing of the words of Jehovah. Ooh, boy. That's some powerful stuff there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If we don't hunger and thirst for you, we don't make it. I don't make it. I'm not going to fool myself. If I don't go back and read when I was in Tennessee this past weekend, I could have just disregarded and said, oh, Pastor got it, Chad got it. If I could have took an attitude, I can't be here. I can't read this. I got to be disciplined. And them days are coming. And they shall wander from sea to sea. And from north to east, and they shall diligently search, seeking the word of Jehovah, comma, there's a comma right there, at that conjunction, but, this is where the trouble comes in at, they shall not find it. How valuable is this word that we get today? I'm so thankful for his word today. I can't live without it. You might, but I can't. I need it. I need it when I wake up, I need it throughout the day, and I need it when I lie down. Some days I get more than others, I eat more days than others, depending on the kind of day goes. I still have my, I ain't gonna kid you, I'm not gonna lie to you. I still have my little games every now and then I might tinker with here and there, but I don't, that's not where all my time is consumed at. Some of us like to watch TV, we like to watch Cowboys, it doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge nobody. But if it's taking more than your time you spend with him, you have a problem. So what we're going to do, tonight we're going to rip some scabs off. And then we'll let Pastor put an ointment for y'all in a few days. But tonight we're going to rip off some scabs. They shall not find it. That's troubling to me when you read that. Because we should want to kiss the words that's coming out of his mouth. Well, I know y'all just heard that. We should honor these words. That's coming from behind here. That's why, because this is Yah's man. I didn't pick him and put him in here. Yah did. Yah called him from how long, Pastor? 40 years now? Yah put him in this spot. He didn't self-exalt himself. So we should want to kiss the word that he's speaking, because he's speaking the words of Jehovah. Amen. Yeah. But there's some out there. And Yah gives a warning to. So if you think he's exempt, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34. All right, but I'm just showing you that Yah, if not partial, he don't show favoritism to you and not show favoritism here. He don't show favoritism to our pastor and not to the other pastor. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. This is a warning to all pastors and those who are in leadership. And the word, Ezekiel 34 verse 1, the word of Yehovah came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Who? Against who? The shepherds. Why? Because they're the one in leadership. And say to them, thus says the master Yehovah to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds. You see when you're getting them woes? And woes can be bad. We know about woes. You read about when Yeshua talked about it. Woe to you. Woe to you. Scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Well, here we're getting a woe from Yehovah. And he says, woe to the shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? He's got a responsibility. Just like we all have responsibilities. Just because you don't stand behind here, I'm not licensed to do this job. But don't mean when you go out from these doors, you're not a shepherd. I thought I covered that a while back. You're leading somebody. You're going to be an example to somebody. Somebody's watching your life. So, my friend, you are a shepherd. Whether you think it or not. Whether you think you're licensed or not. You are a shepherd. If you're not, because you have children, you're a shepherd. You have to be a shepherd to them. What does Jehovah say? Woe to them. You eat the fat and you put on the wool. You slaughter the fatling. You do not feed the flock. That's the problem Yahweh's having right here with the shepherds back here in the time of Ezekiel. That's why he's saying prophesy against them. I'm telling them what's going to happen to them. They better straighten up. And they're no different than shepherds today. They're out in the world who's not feeding the flock. They're doing it for their own gain. If you think that's not happening, just turn your TV on. You don't have to turn your TV on. Just go visit other places if you're there. You see it happening. You have not strengthened the weak, nor have you healed the sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back the straying, nor sought what was lost. But you have ruled them with might and harshness. Now, I didn't see Joseph doing that with might and harshness. They spoke harshly to him because he was testing them. But he wasn't being a dictator to them. Like, you do it, and then I'm going to throw you in the dungeon if you don't do it. You didn't see that going over Joseph's mouth. We're not being that way here. Our shepherd that's leading us, I love our shepherd. I love the word that he speaks, because I know where he's speaking them from. He said, I dare to say, he said, like Yeshua said, these are not my words, they're the words of the Father. And what did he say? He said, at his mouth is where you'll kiss these words. Because they're so important. Verse 5. And they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. And my sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth. And no one was seeking or searching for them. I know one thing. That don't sound like my shepherd who sits here, who studies. I know he studies. I know he puts time in. I know when he brings it to him, it's fresh as fresh can be. And I need it. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. As I live, because the master Yehovah, because my flock became a prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, from not having a shepherd, and my shepherds do not search for my flock, but the shepherds feed themselves and did not feed my flock. You think Yah's concerned about you? Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of Yehovah. Thus says the master Yehovah, see, I am against the shepherds. He repeated again. And shall require my flock at their hand. He has a job. He has a very important job. And he didn't get it up. We in his hands. When he's behind here, we're in his hands. That's why I go back and I check. I listen to what he says. Go back and check. What he said? You don't have to believe it. Go check it for yourself. And that's what I do. And then we should. He's just being a good Berean. Not that he's trying to trick us. I don't think y'all trying to trick us at all. So look, when Wednesday comes around, when Shabbat Friday evening rolls around, and Saturday, I can't wait to get here. Thus says the master Yehovah, see, I'm against the shepherd, and shall require my flock at their hand, and shall make them cease feeding the sheep, And the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, and I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, and they shall no longer be food for them. And you can go on reading because it gets real good. Because Yehovah says, I'm going to separate them. At come a time, he's going to separate sheep and goat and ram. Boy, and that's a whole other subject. But I just want to show you that, yeah, his life is on the line. We should at least show some respect. Because what? They showed respect to Joseph. They did everything that Joseph said coming out of his mouth. What did Pharaoh say? Only when I'm on the throne, I'm greater than you. But if I'm on the throne, you the man. And every word that you speak, they're not going to lift their hand or a foot. And they're going to kiss the words that come out of your mouth. If you speak in Jehovah's word, I want to kiss the words coming out of your mouth. The seven, back to the slide. Boy, I tell you. This is good because we're going to see. We're going to get to the side. We're going to talk about Yeshua here. Because there's no way, I don't know how anyone can say that we're saying something, we're just reading Torah, we're just anti-Torah, and we don't see Yeshua. Well, I tell you what, I beg the difference. Because I see Yeshua all through the life of Joseph. And we see, and we don't only see Yeshua, we see it in Abraham. We see it in Adam. We see it in Noah. We see it in every one of these patriarchs and every one of the side we go through. There's not one we go through like that you don't see Yeshua in there, or pointing to him until Yeshua. Not unto. Unto, not until. My bad. Correct you for correction. I was listening. When you got so much Bible up, sometimes it just gets a little twisted. All right. The 7 years of famine had begun, and they extended to all the nations. And when the people began to cry and hunger to Pharaoh, he told them to do what? Listen to Joseph and do whatever he would tell them to do. The famine can also be symbolic for us of a time where there is a famine for the word. That is, a time when most are being starved for lack of nourishment through the word. Look, you come here, we ain't starving. You got over 300 stars. And look, I'm sure that's not all of them. There ain't no way you can say that you're starving. You're only starving because the food is there, it's on the table, you just refuse to eat. Nourishment through the word due to the neglect and inherited lies and false traditions that are being taught as truth. Now that is so true. I don't know about y'all, but that is so much true. Because past few conversations I've been having lately, you know, on the phones, when I mention something, and I say, well, I'm not going to tell you what I said. I know what the scripture says. And I'll tell them what the scripture says, and then it's silence. Why? Because it's true. You know it's true, but you won't acknowledge the truth. But people rather hold on to tradition because it fits their lifestyle, and they're comfortable with that. But like I said, there comes a time when there's going to be a famine for the world. You're going to need truth. How are you going to know what it is if we don't go back left to Matthew? It is important for us to recognize how during this time of famine, so to speak, that when we listen to our Master, Yeshua Messiah, who is the bread of life, and do whatever he commands us to, that is to obey his Torah and walking in it, for then we will survive. Well, there's no doubt in my mind, if we're saying what he's saying, and we follow what he found, we like what he liked, and hate what he hate, and we feed on him, which we're about to go to, he tells us, you're going to survive. He ain't lying to us. So, and it was so, when I got to the slide, it reminded me last week, I went and got a haircut by that place up there. And the people are Palestinians. And my wife dropped me off. And when she runs to the ATM, when she comes back, you know, guys, he's still working on cutting my hair. And we got to talking about the Torah. I mean, they're talking about the Scripture and what I believe and what I know about Scripture. And they, you know, they kind of compared their belief system with me. And I was showing them the slides. I said, this is what I found to be true. And this is what I found was. So now they seeing, finally got a little breakthrough to where they seeing that, you know, man, you know a lot about this type of worship, this type of custom. And so I thought it was just amazing to me that I got, because like I said, they're Palestinians. They're not really that friendly with Jews. Maybe not some of them are, but they were great people. It was great to talk with them because I learned a little bit from them. And I can't wait to go back and share with them some more. But I opened up the slide. I even played some of the Hebrew music in the barbershop with them. My wife was like, what's taking you so long? I said, well, I'm busy right now. In the barbershop. Hey, it was wonderful. So look, you want a shepherd somewhere. Somebody's going to see you. They're going to examine your life. And you'll be surprised. And as I was looking at that, I told him one thing. Because I said, man, because they asked me, said, do you celebrate Christmas? No. He said, we don't either. So the pagans thought we were pagan holidays. Well, man, that's amazing. So they know it's not right. So I'm sitting there talking with them, and long story short, I said, let me tell you something. I said, what I've been learning now, I said, I don't know all the customs and all the traditions. I said, but one thing I do know, we're the only church in my area down the road that we're the only one that I know that's teaching this. That's why the word, I said, look, that's a lot of word teaching going on. Well, we're the only one teaching from a Hebraic standpoint, mindset, and looking at the words of Yeshua. I said, we're the only one that's teaching that. I said, you know what? They think we're crazy. But he knew. He knew a lot of what I was talking about. He knew it's not crazy stuff. But he said, the only problem we have over here with the Palestinians is with the Jewish government. I said, well, it's no different than our government. We got a problem with ours too. So, but it goes to show how the famine of the word. Because if we just say what we're learning compared to some of the other churches that I know that I've visited, no way. It's like we're the eyeball. We're the eyeball buck here. But it's fine. Because Yah was with Yosef. And man, that was so amazing. In verse 57, we are told that the famine was so severe that all the earth came to Yosef to buy grain. And herein lies a powerful shadow picture of Messiah, who is the true living bread and sustainer of life. And all who come to him shall find their supply and lack nothing as long as they feed on him. Oh boy, here we go. Let's go to John. Yohanan. Chapter 6. And starting at verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that was standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except the one into which his taught ones had entered, and that Yeshua had not entered the boat with his taught ones, but his taught ones went away alone. So we know what would happen here. He just fed the multitude of 5,000. And he said, look, y'all go. I'm going to go pray, and I'm going to catch up with y'all later. So this is that scene. And so the people knew that. They witnessed that. They knew that he went up, and the disciples left. Therefore, we went away alone. Verse 23. But other boats came from Kinnereth, near the place where they ate bread after the master had given thanks. Therefore, when the crowd saw that Yeshua was not there, nor his taught one, they themselves also entered into the boats and came to Capernaum seeking Yeshua. And having found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, where did you come from here? That blew their mind. Because we knew he went to the mountain to pray and be alone, and he is on the other side. How did you got here? Sound like I'm Russell. How you got here? This is so funny. Yeshua, verse 26, answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied. We're only following you because we're hungry. No different than some of us today. We only follow because we in a bind. My finances, my pockets are a little shallow. Or I got a loved one that's sick. Today, where were you the rest of the time? Why are you just not, Adam? What we met here every day, Adam. Why all of a sudden today you're hiding? What you afraid of? We met here every evening. Yeshua answered said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were satisfied. Do not labor for the food that is perishing." What's happening? You're going to die anyway. Quit laboring for that. But don't take it wrong. He does want you to work and take care of your family. That's not what he's saying. That's not what I'm saying here. Let me just clear that up. I don't want to get a bad report on Facebook. You heard what he said? But for the food that is remaining to what? Into everlasting life, which the Son of Adam shall give you from the Father, Elohim has set his seal on him. Seal on him. Saying, he's the man. He's the God that we should be following. So what are we doing here? We follow what we're saying, what he's saying. We're not saying anything different. We say the problem is we're not obeying. We're hearing, but we got a problem with the doing part. That's where the issue comes at. So they said to him, "What shall we do to work the works of Elohim?" I'd have been right there like, come on, man. That's what Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Elohim, that you believe in him whom he sent." At least believe in him. Because you know later on they're gonna go down and they're gonna say, "Well, ain't this Joseph the Joseph's son? Jesus, Yeshua, who we know?" Just put him in the same class as a man. And then you just fed 5,000 people. You just witnessed a great miracle. Nobody else is doing these miracles. But here you are. Here you said, what are we going to do? At least believe in me. He's going to clear it up. Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Elohim, that you believe in him who he sent." So they said to him, "What sign then would you do so that we see and believe you?" What would you do? I mean, he just performed a great miracle, just fed a whole multitude of y'all, and he's still looking for a sign. He's still doing signs and wonders today, and he's still looking for something else. I don't understand it. If we just stick to what he said, I think you would probably be okay. But what's he going to do? He's going to point you right to the Father. I can assure you. Verse 31, he said, "Our father ate the man in the wilderness, as it has been written." Now here they give him scripture to Yeshua. "He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Therefore Yeshua said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, Moshe did not give you the bread out of the heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of the heaven. For the bread of Elohim is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world.'" Well, how important, we need that. We need that bread. "So they said to him, 'Master, give us this bread always.' And Yeshua said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not get hungry at all. And he who believes in me shall not get thirsty at all.'" You hear me read this slowly? "Shall not get hungry and shall not get thirsty." Why? Because we have it here. We have all you want here. You just got to show up here to help eat it. It's like a buffet here. Especially on Shabbat. and when you're full of bread, we got dessert. It's called Midrash. Which is still important. Because I missed the Midrash, but I know they went to Amos. A little bird told me. Share it with me, and I need it. Oh, he said, "You're not going to be hungry. You're not going to be thirsty." Look, we don't know what hunger and thirst is. He said, "But I say to you that you have seen me and still do not believe." I can't understand. What? See, Yeshua knows. You can't hide anything from him. "All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And the one who comes to me, I shall by no means cast out. Because I have come down out of heaven, not to do my own desire, but the desire of him who sent me. Wow. He didn't come to do what he wanted to do. So when we are here teaching, we don't just come here teaching because we just doing what we want to do. We're not just saying anything. We're looking at his words. They're important. We're saying what he says. And that's what's so important. This is the desire of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should not lose of it, but shall raise it in the last day. I mean, you know that the day coming, the last day. And he's going to raise it up in the last day. Those who have been found faithful. And this is the desire of him. We want to know the Father's desire. This is his desire. He tells what the Father's desires are. We just got to pay attention. That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should possess everlasting life. And I shall raise him up in the last day. There's a day coming. You know, he's one that's sleeping in the dust now. There's a day coming for them that they will be raised in the last day. Scripture tells when the trumpet sound, the dead's going to be raised first. Those who died faithfully believed, those who held the banner, those who stayed on the front line, didn't compromise, didn't give up when it got troublesome, when it got a little squirrely, they stood. When it gets, no matter if you're by your own, your loved ones with you or not, you still stand. Because it's your job, it's your duty as a shepherd. If you don't stand for your children, you don't stand for yourself, stand for your children. Think about it. Therefore, the Yehudim were grumbling, go figure, against him. Because he said, I'm the bread which came down out of heaven. That tells me that's a lack of knowledge. They're not looking to the word. They should have known he was coming. Because what did he say? If you believe Moshe's writing, you would have known he wrote about me. We should know that. But what are they doing? They're grumbling. And Yehudim are grumbling against him. Wow. I don't see where they grumble against Joseph. Joseph, man, that was in charge. He said, look, I want you to put the... He ain't grumbling against Joseph. We shouldn't grumble. And they said, Is not this Yeshua the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he says, I have come down out of heaven? Blindness, spiritual blindness. That's what happens when you get the lack of bread. When you lack of nourishment. You don't hunger and you don't thirst. We don't feed. So we lose sight of scripture. We lose sight of our walk. Our feet get a little slippery. And then we grumble. And then we start blaming others, especially those in leadership. They're the first ones. No one, then Yeshua, verse 43. Yeshua answered and said to them, do not grumble with one another. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I'm so glad that he drew me. I was lost, without bread. I was hungry, without water. I was thirsty. Not because I blame somebody, I blame myself. Because I'm the one that look in the mirror. It has been written to the prophets, and they shall be taught by Jehovah. Everyone then who has heard from the Father and learned comes to me. We got to come to him. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from Elohim. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me possesses everlasting life. I believe in him. That's how you can believe. You have to believe in him. But look, when believing in him also comes requirements. It's more than just sitting there, I believe, because the scripture says even the demons believe. We have to be careful. If that's your message, just believe in him, inspiration, that's a false message. We have to be careful with that because we have things to do. Now that, okay. I lost my... 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from Elohim, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me possesses everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that anyone might eat of it and not die. We have to feed on him. Because if not, you die. And to die without him would be a travesty. After so much bread that's been going through this house since I've been here. I don't know about the rest, but since I've been here, there's been a lot of bread. He says, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. How long? Forever. We have to eat of his bread. The man in the wilderness is only to sustain you for a little bit. When you're outside eating raw, take your bread with you. It's going to sustain you. But we have to make sure we chew on him, we're eating on him, we're drinking of him. For indeed, the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And here we go. This is how the flesh thinks. The Yehudim, therefore, were striving with one another, saying, how is this one able to give us his flesh to eat? Yeshua just hit him with a curveball right there. That's just the way I look at it. Yeshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Adam and drink his blood, you possess no life in yourself. What is he talking? Now they really think he's nuts. And you know what? People think we're pretty crazy too. Just want to let y'all know. They don't. Yeshua said, look, they hated me before they hated you, just to let y'all know. So if they call you crazy, it's okay. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood possesses everlasting life, and I shall raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood stays in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. He said this in the congregation teaching in Capernaum. But he just blew their mind, because how in the world this man, we're going to eat and drink his blood? That's how mindset of some people are. And this is what happens when you don't dive into the word. What is Yeshua even talking about? He was the bread. What it means, drink his blood and eat his flesh. If we don't pay attention to this word, we you know what we do? Observe the Passover. What did Pharaoh say about Yahweh? You're gonna kiss his words. That's what he's talking about. Kiss his words. Because he's telling you, because we're going to see what Peter, what is he going to say right here? He's going to clear it up for us. Therefore, many of his taught ones, having heard, said, this word is hard. What? Who is able to hear it? Sometimes it's going to be in here. It might not sit well with you. It might not taste good when you swallow the bread or swallow the water. It might not set with you. It might make your stomach turn a little bit sometimes. But it's to purge you. I guess that's a safe way to say it. Because sometimes we have things in us that shouldn't belong, that he wants to get out of us, especially in our character, how we conduct our lives when we're around other people. What do we say? How do we act? What's our speech? And not just other people. What about our spouses? What about at home? What if we start in Yerushalayim first at home? You know? We have to learn these things. And this is what he wants to bring out. This is what Yosef was trying to bring out his brother, the character, because it starts at home. But he's saying it's hard. But the scripture said, this word is not hard. It's in the slides. Oh, man. I don't know if we'll ever get to it. But Yeshua, knowing within himself that his taught ones were grumbling about this, they're still grumbling. He just told them, don't grumble. And here they are still grumbling about it. He said to them, does this make you stumble? What if you see the son of Adam going up where he was before? Well, he's just blowing their mind. They know the word that was written before because it had been written. They knew these things, but they couldn't see it. The fountain of life is right there in front of them. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. He said, the word that I speak to you are spirit and are life. He was speaking spirit and life to them. And they just couldn't even see it right there in front of their eyes. He said, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Yeshua knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would deliver him up. And he said, because of this, I have said to you that no one is able to come to me unless it has been given to him by my Father. That goes show the love and compassion that the Father had. You know, in such a time as this, because there was a time in my life I could have been just being erased. And I'm so thankful for his word and for the Father having compassion and mercy. Some of y'all probably know what I'm talking about. From then on, and he's telling Yeshua, he's always pointing back to the Father. Never self. He's always pointing back to his Father. Because he knew. From then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. What a travesty. When I got to that verse of scripture, how sad that was. Because they couldn't understand what he was saying. So instead of we decide the hard and we don't understand why we're going. Yeah, he has on this road. You have a choice. And like I said, it's not always pretty. But it's food for you, whether you don't see it or not. It's life to us. That's what I believe. From then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and would not walk with him anymore. And then this is my favorite part. Yeshua then said to the 12, he's saying to you in here, do you wish to go away too? What are you going to do? What a question by Yeshua. He's questioning his faithful ones, his taught ones, the ones that stand up, that walk and eat with him every day and drink with him every day. Are you offended by this? Are you going to leave too? I see a lot of empty seats in here. It's a travesty. And look, I'm saying it to y'all, but look, trust me, I had to get my feel on it. What are we going to do? And then Shimon Kepha answered him, I love this, what he said, Master, to whom shall we go? Where do you want to go? You possess the words of everlasting life. You know what? I don't want to go nowhere because I love what I'm eating here. This bread is so rich, has so much fiber and nourishment. If I can't make it off the bread I get here, you ain't going to get it out there nowhere else. Unless you're getting the same bread. I hope you're getting the same bread because this is rich. He says, I am the living bread. And I know that's what we've been preaching a lot, that he is that bread. And we got to stick to him, what he says. We got to like what he likes and hate what he hates. And what he does, he points you right back to the Father. Oh, man. Master, to whom shall we go? I like what Peter asked that. Because you possess the words of everlasting life. How amazing is that? Does he have everlasting life? It's only through him. The power of the true bread of Messiah is that all the earth came to him without silver. What is this? Look, we get to this. I know we shortcut on these verses, but sometimes we got to go and you want to go read the entirety of it. Spend some time. Look, if you don't read all the slides, it's okay. But when you get to some of these slides and you don't really quite understand it, go back and read Isaiah 55. Just go read the whole chapter. And it really broadens your idea, your mind. You say how much a lot of bread. We just giving you a little baguettes right here. You start reading these things, you start getting the whole loaf. Yeah, the beignets. We just giving you beignets. Oh, mercy. The power of the true bread of Messiah is all that the earth came to him. Yeah, everybody came to Yahweh because that why? I heard there was food there. And I believe there's going to come a time. You know what? They're going to, you know, we need to get down to that little church down there. We heard there's food there. There's bread here. Look, your loved ones are coming. Just hang in there. Yeshayahu, Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no silver, come, buy, and eat. Look, we ain't trying to sell you the word. We give it to you for free. Come. Come buy wine and milk without silver and without price. He ain't trying to hold back. He ain't charging you for it. He's giving it to you freely. Look, when I, there's nothing more I like going over by Sister Justine down by the restaurant and somebody will say, look, I got the bill. Whose turn it is? Whose turn it is? Hey, come eat freely. This is what's happening here. Oh, I'm getting it's just a head shake. Why do you weigh out silver for what is not bread, and your labor for what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and let your being delight itself in fatness. Look, you start eating that bread, and over here, I guarantee you come eat it on Wednesday, you're going to want it on, by the time it's Shabbat, you got fresh bread. Ain't nothing like the smell of good fresh bread. Well, I tell you, since we've been learning how to start making bread, I remember my first one that I made, I was by myself on Grand Bayou, boy, this thing was this big, but boy, it was good. And ever since then, they know, now I got a bread maker. I married a bread maker, so we good now. Oh, that's nothing like fresh bread. Joseph's brother go to Egypt. In Genesis 42:1, and when Yaakov saw that there was grain in Mizraim, Yaakov said to his sons, why do you look at each other? I know y'all heard about this. This was in part of the message. And he said, see, I have heard that there is grain in Mizraim. Go down to that place and buy for it there and let us live and not die. Come down here, come eat some bread. Because you look, if we're going to give it to you, you won't die. This is good sweet bread. This is really good stuff here. It really is. Man, and yeah, look, don't just stand here and look at one another. What are we going to do? Eat. This is what you commanded. And Yosef's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Mizraim. But Yaakov did not send Yosef's brother Benjamin with his brother, for he said, least some harm came to him. You know, he was a worthy father. He loved his son. Just like our father loves us. He don't want us to perish. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. Come, eat. Get all you can. Because there's going to come a time when a famine is coming. Chapter 42. The famine had affected all countries. Can you imagine all over the world, just one place, having to just go to New Orleans? And cities come from all around, got to travel there cause just to get bread, because there's a famine everywhere in the land. This is what this scene was. Man, they're coming from all over. This was tough times. And I believe tough times, this is why Yeshua warns us time after time. He says, look, I don't do nothing in secret, I'm going to tell you. He ain't trying to hide from us. The famine had affected all countries, and so too were Yaakov and his sons affected. And here in verse 1, we are told that when Yaakov saw that there was grain in Mizraim, he asked his son why they were looking at each other. It may be that Yaakov had been given a prophetic vision of the supply of bread in Mizraim, and he tells his son to go down to Mizraim and buy supply for them so that they do not die. So, when Yah's man is here, and he says, open your book and get your pen and take note, get ready to eat. Get prepared. The sons of Yaakov were looking at each other without any solution. And no one was actually willing to step up and take charge of finding the needed supply. And so it took their father Yaakov to challenge them to stop procrastinating by looking at one another for nothing, but rather go down to Mizraim and do something positive. Yaakov sent 10 sons down to Mizraim while Benjamin, his youngest, stayed with him. He loved that boy because he knew Yosef, boy, and he was, He loved Joseph, and he loved Benjamin. And you know, he already lost one. He was not willing. And then you got Simeon down there. He's locked up. So now he lost two. You know, according to what he's thinking, he don't lost two sons. He ain't willing to lose another. That's travesty. But it's hard today. When you lose a loved one, that's tough. We know all about that. And this is what was going on here in the life of Yaakov's mind. We need to give ear to the proper hearing of the word so that we do not find ourselves procrastinating idleness. You know, the scripture talks about idleness. Why stand here idle? Go do something. Go work in the field. But rather be about doing what our master has commanded. When they got to Mizraim, they came and bowed down before Yosef, who was governor of all the land, and the one who sold bread to them, to all. And you can imagine this point when Yosef, his brother, coming down, he remembered that vision about a dream about the sheaf, how Yah's word is coming to pass in the life of Yosef. At this point in time, his brother had certainly not recognized him, as they had assumed that he was dead, especially this being 13 years after they had sold him into slavery. Yet the prophecy of Yosef's dream as a youth were coming to pass, as all his brothers bowing down to him had fulfilled that which his first dream declared to them. And in Bereshit 37:7, see, we were binding sheaves in the midst of the field, and see, my sheaf rose up and also stood up, and see, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. This is playing back over in Joseph's mind. He's seeing this with his brother. And Yah told, this is given his dream, what was going to happen. And what I like what he tells, I know we're never going to get to it. He says, what you meant for evil, Yah turned around for good, because I'm here to preserve life for you. I believe that's why Yah has us here, to preserve life, because there's people who are going to need this bread. Not only us, and it's not just our duty, we ought to share it and be willing to share, no matter where you're at. Sometimes it's just going to be that way. And look, when the odds are against you, don't fear. We shouldn't fear, because that's what he tells us not to, if we remember his words. But you see, after 13 years, now at this time, Joseph's 30 years old. They don't even know, they never seen Joseph for 20 years. You got to do the math to figure out how that, because when I read it, I was like, okay, how do you come about that? But you see, he was 17, 30 years, 13 years he'd been gone, and then from the time they go for the famine, because seven years in the past in the famine, the first 7 years of plenty, they were done, that's 20 years. So here they come 2 years into the famine, they hungry, 20 plus years. So, I know we're not going to get to that, so I share that with y'all. That's a little extra baguette on your plate. And the son of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the scarcity of food was in the land of Canaan. See, this wasn't just affecting just the surrounding area. Yeah, I can promise you, when the time comes, it's not going to affect just Beers or Triumph or Boonville. It's going to affect Grand Bay. It's going to affect Narron. It's going to affect New Orleans and beyond. The whole world is going to be affected. If you don't think it can happen, look what happened when the shot, COVID. It affected the whole world. Can you imagine when there's a famine for the word? How's it going to affect people? Because in their mind, some people in their mind, we out of here. Okay? You better go check the script. In verse 5, we are told that the sons of Yisrael went to buy grain because there was a scarcity of food in Canaan too. What is interesting to take note of here is how they were called the sons of Yisrael and not the sons of Yaakov. While they were referred to interchangeably as sons of Yaakov and Yisrael, we see a pattern of how they are referred to here as sons of Yisrael when they are in fact taking their rightful role and acting on the word of their father and seeking to do what is right, as opposed to procrastinating and delaying true obedience, which is being referred to as the sons of Yaakov. Basically, when you're hard-headed, you're Yaakov's son. And when you do right, you do what you want, listen to what Yah says, and you're Yisrael's son. So it's just a shortcut because borders is well, the best I can explain it. Now that they had actually taken some positive action in dealing with the famine, they are now living as true sons of Israel. I'm so glad they obeyed. I'm so thankful for Yosef, because without Yosef, the whole we probably wouldn't even be here. Because he was there to preserve life. And what the scripture said, they went down to 70 people. And then at the time they had babies and all. And then come time, we're going to get into Moshe. They come out of nation. Has been all over the world scattered. And then one of the guys, the Palestinians say, the most Jew that he's seen, another guy's in New York. I said, well, there's some here too, bro. He said, are you a Jewish? I said, I might not be native born, but I am now. Boy, look, you can have some good encounters with people, but you have to be willing to sit down and eat bread and show discipline and let him teach you. The famine in the land is also symbolic of a famine of the word of Elohim. And as we know today that a prophecy in Amos, there is a clear famine for the word of Elohim, which is calling for the true sons of Israel to stand up and take action. I'm going to stop right there. Look, we want to be sons and daughters of Israel. We have to stand up and take action. It's time to take your place. If you want to be on the line, be on the line. Don't be squirreling. He goes before. How is it? He goes before us. He's behind us. He's on the side of us. You remember the story I told you about a couple weeks ago? We're talking about he sent the angel out there through all the armies that came against him. Let me read about it. Yah is for you. He was with Yosef, and he's with us today. So, look, and there's so much more. Because trust me, we got a lot of slides to go, but unfortunately, like everything, we're out of time. One day we had to come and have pajama night. So, I thank y'all for coming out. Let's just be in prayer of one another. You know, we need each other. Amen. You know, the world has their celebration, but Yah has his celebration. He has his people. He wants us to know truth and stick to the truth. No matter what the cost is, you stick with him. No matter how bad it looks, you stick to him because he has the words of eternal life. Amen. So, amen. We're good.